Vayikra Mesam Leishea Binun Yeshua. Beginning of Parsha Shlach, we learn about Moshe sending out the 12 Meraglim, the 12 spies, each one representing a particular tribe, and the spies' mission was to look at the nature of Eretz Yisrael and report back to the Jewish people before they went to conquer it. So it's interesting that in the pasuk describing Yeshua, Yeshua's name was Hoshea bin Nun, and Moshe gives him an extra yud. Rashi there explains, quoting the Medrash, the purpose, the underlying meaning of the name change on Moshe's part was Ka Hoshiacha Me'atzas Miraglim. Yud He, as in Hashem, should save you from the plot of the Miraglim, from the strategy of the Miraglim. In the Kutas Sichas Chelik Beis, Labarajam asks, apparently Moshe's changing Yeshua's name is a very strange thing. The Miraglim only sinned later downstream. Only later, only after the Miraglim returned, did the Miraglim sin. So why is it the case that Moshe would be changing Yeshua's name as a preemptive measure for the Miraglim sin? Did Moshe prophetically know that the Miraglim were going to sin? And if he did, why did he send them to begin with? Why would Moshe send the Miraglim on a failed mission? And why would he subject the Jewish people to the terrible punishment they incurred as a result of the Miraglim's misdeeds? So, citing a familiar paradigm from the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Torah, the Rebbe explains as follows. There are two types of tzaddikim. Some tzaddikim, the Rebbe tells us, their job is not to be engaged with the world. Their job is to all day to be in the Beis Medrash, to be learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, to not know about the world. When you tell them that there's such a thing as Coca-Cola, they ask, what's that? When you tell them that there's such a thing as the Grand Canyon, they have no idea what the Grand Canyon is. And then you explain the Grand Canyon to them, so they say, oh, Biko Motsu, quoting the Gemara in Chulin and Erevin, because their only frame of reference for the world comes from the Torah. They don't have any frame of reference for what goes on in the world. You tell them about Harvard, and they're like, what's Harvard? And Baruch Hashem, there's no shortage of such gedolim, there's no shortage of such tzaddikim. That's one paradigm of tzaddik. However, there's another paradigm of tzaddik. And that tzaddik is somebody who, on the one hand, is firmly grounded in Torah, is firmly grounded in Yerushalayim, but on the other hand, their finger is very much on the pulse. They're very much aware of the world, they're very much aware of what's going on in the world, and they're very much aware of the sort of people who live in their community, the sort of people who live in the Jewish world, what those people's needs are, what their strengths are, and what their weaknesses are. So even before sending out the Miraglim, Moshe knew two things. Number one is he knew that the type of tzaddikim that the Miraglim were they were the tzaddikim who did not want to have what to do with this world. And that's why they ultimately did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael, why they ultimately tried to convince the nation not to enter the land, because they realized that once they entered the land, they would have to run a state. And running a state is very distracting. Running a state makes it difficult for you to learn Torah. But that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to be engaged in this world. He wanted us to be of this world. As Mashpia Reb Mendel Heller once taught, it says in the pasuk about Bnei Yisrael, V'yidgu l'roiv b'kerv arts. So Reb Mendel explained, on the one hand, V'yidgu l'roiv, we should be like fish. Fish are totally immersed in the Yam HaTalmud, in the sea of Torah and Tefillah. But on the other hand, we're meant to be bekerev ha'aretz. We're meant to be within the land. And the Miraglim missed that point. But in principle, had the Miraglim allowed the rest of the Jewish people to enter the land and allowed them to start a regular state and allowed them to be engaged with the world, but the Miraglim themselves would sit in a base medrash somewhere in Bnei Brak and would have no idea of what was going on in the world, that would have been okay. But for Yeshua, that would not have been okay. And here's why. Moshe knew, Beruach Kodesh, he knew, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Yeshua had a special destiny. Yeshua was destined to be the Nasi Hador. He was destined to be the leader of the Jewish people. And the leader of the Jewish people, not just a gadol who you go and ask questions to from time to time, who you ask some halachic questions to, and about details of Kodesh and Tiferes, and those people are very, very important. But the holistic leader of the Jewish people cannot be somebody who is disengaged from the world. The holistic leader of the Jewish people is somebody who must be of the world. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said of Yehoshua, Kahu shiacha mi atzas miraglim. Hashem should save you from the ideas, from the strategy of the miraglim. Because if you hang out with the miraglim for too long, then their ideology might rub off on you. And you might say, why spend time taking interest in all the details of the world? Why spend time taking interest in the mundane lives of people who live outside of the Beis Medrash? When in principle, I could be spending all my time on my own shleimus, and those who want to come and drink from my wellspring could come to me. That's not the correct perspective for a true Jewish leader. A true Jewish leader needs to be engaged, needs to be aware, and needs to have their finger on the pulse. It might be the case that, as the Alter Rebbe says in the Kotei Torah, that at a preparatory stage in someone's development, say in the preparatory stage of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's development, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was living in the cave, at that stage, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was incubating, he could be separate from the world. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu spent all that time with the sheep in the desert, herding Yisrael's sheep, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a period of incubation. But once a Jewish leader leaves the period of incubation, once a holistic Jewish leader enters the stage of leadership, it's no longer acceptable to live in a cloistered world. Then a Jewish leader needs to have their finger on the pulse. Rav Yom Tov Lipman HaLevi Heller, who is interestingly a direct descendant of a Tosfos Yom Tov, also named Rav Yom Tov Lipman HaLevi Heller, but just with about 400 years gap intervening, he once explained that this sicha, this message of the Lubavitch Rebbe, explains an interesting story that once happened with the Rebbe. Once, the Rebbe asked one of his Hasidim to ask a big Rosh Yeshiva, who it doesn't matter where that Rosh Yeshiva taught, but he asked the big Rosh Yeshiva, why is it that the Rosh Yeshiva spoke so negatively about Chabad's activity, and why it is that he spoke so negatively about the Lubavitch Rebbe? So the Chassid went and asked the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva says, yes, I'm happy to tell you, I have two major issues with the Lubavitch Rebbe. Number one is that the Lubavitch Rebbe doesn't consult the other Gedolim. Hare, there are a lot of other Gedolim in America. There are a lot of big Rosh Yeshivas. Now, just as an aside, it is the case that the Rebbe was in touch with many Gedol Yisrael. He spoke with the Ger Rebbe, he spoke with the Rav Soloveitchik, he spoke with Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe was, in fact, in touch with many Gedol Yisrael and in consultation with them. But broadly speaking, there was a certain group of Gedol Yisrael, particularly some major Rosh Yeshivas in America, who the Rebbe would not consult whenever it is that he came out with a new project, and the Rebbe would do it on his own. So this Rosh Yeshiva said, number one, I have big issues that when the Rebbe comes out with a new project, say, for example, the Rebbe decides that he's going to make a tefillin campaign, or the Rebbe decides he's going to make Chabad houses, or he decides that he's going to make a Shabbos candle campaign, that women should start lighting Shabbos candles, or a Shemitz Teinech campaign, that the Rebbe doesn't have a big polar meeting with all of the Le'at Torah, and ask the Gedolei Torah for their permission to come out with his new campaign. That's problem number one, said the Rosh Yeshiva. And problem number two is that the Lubavitch Rebbe makes a big deal about this very far-off Medrash and Medrash Tanchuma. And that Medrash and Medrash Tanchuma, it says, Nis'ada Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyesh Lo'idir B'tachtayim. The Holy One, blessed be He, Hashem, desired to have a dwelling place in the lower realm. And this Rosh Yeshiva said, you know, it's a Medrash and Tanchuma, but is it the foundation of all of Judaism? So when the Rebbe heard this, the Rebbe said, ah, He Hanei Senes, Ho Bahotalia. The two questions, the two challenges this Rosh Yeshiva has, answer one another. The reason why I don't consult that set of Gedolei Yisrael, that set of great Torah scholars, who the Rosh Yeshiva is upset that I don't consult, is because their perspective on this Medrash in Tanchuma of Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyesh Lo'idir is that it's a far-off Medrash. They think, they hold, that the Ikkar is to be cloistered within one's own community. They hold the Ikkar, that the primary thing, is to focus on one's own holiness and not have one's finger on the pulse. And for that reason, says Reb, we come from different perspectives, and consulting one another wouldn't necessarily be so helpful. And based on this secha, Yom Tov Lipman HaLevi Heller explained that the Rebbe was not calling out these Gedolim as bad people. The secha acknowledges that there is a place for people who are completely engaged and who are completely immersed and only immersed in the world of holiness and Torah and are in some sense oblivious or unaware of the gravity of what's going on in the world outside and aren't engaged in transforming and getting down and dirty in the physical world. But such people will ultimately not be radically engaged in transformative Jewish leaders. And as a radical transformative Jewish leader, the Rebbe did not see fit to consult contemporary instantiations of the Meraglim.